Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome here to Home Fellowship here, the Fisherman Ministry in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. I welcome everybody into my house. This is a kind of a little bit scary, as my wife freaked out a little bit, just a teeny bit earlier. But it's not something we haven't done in the past. I remember the old days of Blog TV where we used to do this. So, you know, we're bringing it back in a new way, and hopefully the Lord blesses it. And I welcome you all here. And hope that you'll praise the Lord with us today.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in Him. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in Him. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Celebrate the presence of the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice.
Amen.
See Jesus lifted high, banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. We want to see Jesus lifted high, banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Step by step and moving forward, little by little taking ground. Every prayer's a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down and down and down and down. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Step by step we're moving forward, little by little taking ground. Every prayer's a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down and down, down and down. Wanna to see Jesus lifted high. Banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to principalities, standing firm in Jesus' victory, making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, making war in the heavenlies. Tearing down principalities, standing firm in Jesus' victory. Making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Do not bow a knee to the prince of the air, for we know the truth has set us free. And under our feet He will surely be crushed, and they not all will stand in victory. Making war in the heavenlies, tearing down principalities, standing firm in Jesus' victory. Making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Our hearts are set upon to the courts of the Lord. We will not be but a soul. By His Spirit in us, we will overcome. Pulling down every stronghold, making war in the heavenlies. Tearing down principalities, standing firm in Jesus' victory. Making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. One more time. Making war in the heavenlies, tearing down principalities, standing firm in Jesus' victory. Making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. That exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. That exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Know yourselves. in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up higher and higher, and He shall lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up higher and higher, and He shall lift you up unto the heaven, and He shall lift you up higher and higher, and He shall lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of thank you. my glory, lift up my head.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So this morning in the South Carolina service, Brother Steve was talking about, he used the reference of homeschoolers and how we want God to come down and change everything around us because we don't want to change. And I've been listening to the men's Bible study from 2011. And it was interesting because what I've heard Brother Steve talking about a lot lately is responsibility of faith. And I was quite surprised to hear him talking about it in 2011 because I don't remember ever hearing it. But praise God, I'm hearing it now. So the responsibility of faith, if faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, faith is believing. And that's all that's required of all of us, is to believe. Believe him. Believe he is who he said he is, and believe that he will do what he says he will do, and then believe his word, because everything else follows that. As most of you may know, Ricky was hospitalized a couple weeks ago, and praise God, he's doing fine. He's 100% healed. So I've been thinking a lot about health and trusting the Lord for your health, because Jesus gives us health. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus gives us health and gives us life. And I woke up the other night crying. Not sobbing, but crying, like my body was convulsing from crying. And I realized that I'd had a dream that Ricky died. And I realized that it was an attack of the enemy to cause me to not believe in the healing that God has delivered to him. There was a spirit of fear that came upon me. And when I recognized that, I could come against it with his word and pray against it. So that's what I did. And I expected it to go away immediately when I prayed against it. I knew it was an attack. I knew it was a battle. I knew it was, quite frankly, not a very sneaky battle. It was just an in your face, here's something for you to deal with. So I prayed, and it didn't go. The fear didn't leave when I told it to. And I woke Ricky because I wasn't being quiet, telling the spirit of fear to leave. And it didn't go away. So I got down on my knees beside the bed and I prayed. I prayed in tongues. And then I prayed again. By the time I finally got back to sleep, I was fine because I recognized that that was a spiritual battle. That was a war going on within me that I had to fight. And it wasn't, it was a battle that was put on me. It wasn't something I chose because I was asleep. It was a fear. And it got me thinking about how do you fight? Because this is something I've been learning this year, is how to fight in the spirit, how to fight for health, how to fight to believe against unbelief, how to fight against all those spiritual things, not in the physical. Because in the past, I've always fought things in the physical and it doesn't go anywhere. So trying to figure out how to fight spiritually. And these are a few of the scriptures that I want to read. Genesis 32, verse 24, down onwards. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. That's some serious fighting. That's somebody whose his thigh is out of joint, out of place, and he is fighting for a blessing. How many of us, when push comes to shove, when that pain comes, do we give up? Whether it's, I hate to bring Star Trek into it, but I was watching a Star Trek episode and there was a woman who was pregnant and she was in pain and somebody recommended that she have the day off and the doctor said, no, with pregnancy comes pain. You're going to have to get over it and get on with your duties. And it's true. Look, if you're going to get through this life, you need to just fight through some of these things. You can't surrender to them every time a little thing comes upon you. You know, Jacob wrestled in pain with a dislocated hip, broken hip. I don't know what it was, but it was not a correctly functioning hip. And he wrestled through that for a blessing. So what are you going to do for your blessing? Another one I want to read is Samuel. 1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this? Who is this enemy who's trying to defeat us? Defy the armies of the living God. Who is he? Why are you so afraid of him? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Oh, let's limit God. God can't work through you. You're just a child. You're just a little man, little scrawny thing. Look at him. He's a giant. You can't overcome him. Yeah, how many times do you hear that? How many times do you believe that? Yeah, and how many times do you say it to yourself, as Ricky said? And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Carrie and Jim were talking about, and Raul in Vermont were talking about the struggles that we go through. You know, part of the going through the tribulation is that it works out those things in you so that you have a testimony later on of how God delivered you from those things. And your testimony can help others to know they too can be delivered from those things. And they then can learn that God works to deliver them, and they have that testimony that they can recall next time it happens again. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor. Yep. And he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. He's a little cocky. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. That's powerful. That's the power of Jesus Christ. That's the power of my God. If that's the God you serve, you can walk in that. You can have the confidence of David to say, who are you? In the middle of the night, when you get woken up with a fearful dream, you can fight that with the word and say, what are you doing? Who do you think you are attacking? Get out. You can slay that dragon, dragons, I don't know where that came from. You can slay that giant. Because it might be a giant to you, but it's not to Jesus Christ. You sang a song there, Ricky, War in the Heavenlies. By his spirit, we will overcome. By his spirit. It's not by us. You cannot do anything save the Lord gives it to you to do. You cannot overcome the enemy in yourself. I've tried. I've failed. It's not possible. Don't bother trying. Just hear me. It's not possible. You cannot overcome the enemy in yourself, by yourself. But with Christ, all things are possible.
Okay, so much for, I don't have anything to share today. So my wife was telling me earlier, she did not say it like that. She didn't. She said, I don't have anything to say today. I said, well, the Lord will give you something. He always does. And I have to say, you're getting harder and harder to follow, dear. Because that was very good. Because the Lord is very good. So today started out interesting. We threw up the camera. You know, my wife had a meltdown, mini meltdown. What, you can do this on your page? People might see it. I said, well, that was the whole point. So, what, we were going to put it somewhere else? No, we're going to put it on my page. Well, praise God. Hey, it's a stretch. It's a stepping out. Amen. It's a engaging in the fight and in the battle like we've been talking about. You know, you have to battle through those things personally, but then that's not where it stops. The battle is out there. And we have to take that battle to the enemy. You know, Jesus said to the disciples, said the gates of hell will not prevail. Hail. I went southern. I thought I rose for a minute. Hail. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. Gates are not an offensive weapon. They're a defensive weapon. And it's talking about we are to take the battle to the enemy. Okay, so you look at what's going on in the world today. And those people that should be standing up, those people that should be in all the confidence of the fullness of the power of the Almighty God, are the ones like the army of Israel, cowering in the trenches, afraid, scared. And I get it. I understand. But it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right. You know, I heard something today which I frankly, if I'm going to be honest, never thought I'd hear again. That's not a testimony of me. It speaks against me. But I heard my brother-in-law, Jim, get up and preach. And it's been years. And we see that Vermont Fellowship. You know, frankly, it was dead on the table, guys. But Jesus pumped it. Clear, you know, and there's a heartbeat there. There's life there. And there's nothing but the goodness of God moving forward for everyone that will grab it and receive it and fight for it. It's right there. And I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you personally are going through, but I do know that there is an answer for it, regardless of what it is. I'd like to go to James today. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? He's talking about your carnal nature. Your carnal man, what you popped out of the womb with, is contrary to God and never can be brought to any other state. It will always be contrary to God. But the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the whole purpose of water baptism is to demonstrate the putting off of that old man, dying, putting that thing to death, and being risen in new life in Christ Jesus by faith. You're no longer bound to it. You're no longer subject to it in the sense that you have to do what it says. You don't have to. It will never, ever, 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 ever be conformable to the things of God because it's a cursed thing. It cannot be made holy. It cannot be made righteous. It can't be made perfect. It just can't. But you, that is your soul, that seat of your will, that part of you that makes the choice to elect God, to choose God, or to walk after the flesh, that part of you does have a choice. And you can choose by faith to believe. You can choose to believe. You can choose to walk. You can choose to stand. You can choose to fight in Jesus. And when you're in Jesus, it's more about just letting him do his thing than it is you doing much of anything other than to continue to choose him. When you are living by faith in Christ, then that passage where Jesus is talking to the disciples where he says, with man it's impossible, but what? With God, all things are possible. See, when you're in God, you tap into that all things are possible. So regardless of what you've been dealing with, Jesus is really the answer. And that's not just some platitude saying, it's actually true. And the enemy, the last thing he wants you to do is to believe that. Because if you believe that, you're going to tap into that. And all of a sudden, those things that have been holding you back are no longer going to be barriers, because you're going to see Jesus is bigger than those things. And you don't have to be subject to those things, because God is bigger. David didn't allow himself to be subject to Goliath. In fact, he looked at Goliath as, who the hell does this guy think he is to defy the armies of the living God? David didn't go out there in his own strength. He went out there with the full confidence and assurance that the Lord was going to do a miracle. There was no doubt in him. If he had gone out there in doubt, he'd have been slain on the battlefield. And you guys wonder why you go out and take steps in your life. And Brother Steve's talked about this many times, and he's articulated it far better than I'm going to do it right now, I think. But so many times you go out, and the answer to your prayer is proof to believe. It doesn't work that way. See, David went out in the full assurance and knowledge and belief that there was no other outcome that could happen other than Goliath flat on his face, dead before God. And he went out with that. He went out with that staunch determination that there was no other way this was going to work out. And when you can get to that place and you believe God with that kind of fervor, with that kind of zeal, that there is no other way other than God's will be done in my life, then nothing can stand in front of you. Nothing. And everything that would be there that would try and turn you out of the way will be like chaff. It will be like nothing, because you will be fixed on accomplishing that which God has for you. Because you know, you don't think, you don't wonder, you know that it's right. And you trust and believe that God is good. Most people get hung up and they don't understand the character and nature of God. They impute man's carnality onto God's personage. Is that right? I'm making things up. Sometimes I make up words. But God isn't like your carnal man. God isn't like my carnal man. He is righteousness, and he is goodness, and he is faithfulness, and he is love, pure love. Pure love for you. We go back to James here, because both Sue and I have been learning some things. We've been learning how to do what, honey? We've been learning how to fight. Have you been a fighter? Yeah, not each other. We actually had that lick pretty early on, being able to fight with one another. We had that sort of down. But as far as something profitable to fight about, have you been a fighter in your life? No. No, she hadn't been a fighter. She's been a curl up in a baller. Yeah, she's been a quitter. My little girl, she has been. That's all past tense. My little girl will go play in the pool, and she had this little funny defense mechanism. She would be playing in the pool, and she'd go into a ball and just float as if somehow that was going to stop me from doing whatever I wanted to do. I just cannonball, throw it across the pool. But she would like a ball out, like a gopher or some sort of hedgehog goes into a ball. You know, she would do that, a turtle or whatever it was. That was Sue, really. You know, a little adversity, a little trouble, a little discomfort, a little pain. I'm going to go take a nap. That was her answer. I'm going to take a nap. And you know, when you wake up, it's still there. I mean, it's still there. You didn't avoid anything. Oh, you escaped it for a period of time, but it's still there. And people use all kinds of things to escape the responsibility of faith. Because really what you were struggling with is the responsibility of faith. Because in your head, honey, I bet you you knew that Jesus was bigger than all of your problems. But you didn't believe it. You didn't believe it. And look, you're not alone in that little bus. I've spent time on that bus. It's a rotten bus to be on, let me tell you. That's the bus to the wrong place. It's not to Disneyland, I'm telling you. That's the bus. It's going to the wrong direction. But once you started to learn how to fight, once you started to learn what it was to believe God, then what did you start seeing in your life? But victory, a little victory, a miracle, God's intervention. And it has become something I expect. It's not something that I wonder if it might happen. No, I expect it to happen. Why? Because the Bible says so. What's that? And she says she looks forward to it. Now, you may think this is crazy. This is insane. Well, it is crazy, but I'm not insane. It's crazy to you if you don't understand faith in God. It is nonsense to you. But it doesn't have to stay that way. Amen. I was reading another scripture. It was over in Joshua. And Joshua was about to die. And he says, ultimately, he says, choose this day who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. And there's stuff before and after that scripture, okay? So he's going through and he's telling them about all the stuff that had happened and all the good things God had done and all the, you know, God, all the miracles. But then he also throws in this very, very staunch warning. Why? Because we tend to go back to Egypt is why. We tend to stop fighting. We tend to stop believing. We tend to choose comfort and look for comfort rather than continuing to push forward to the victory God has for us. That is not a way to serve God. That is not a way to live for God. In fact, if you get real honest with yourself, what you have done is you have accepted a bowl of split pea soup and exchanged it for your inheritance because you were hungry. Oh, I almost slipped. Did you see that? Jacob and Esau. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of split pea soup. Because of his belly. And that's what Christians are doing all over America and the world. But more so here, I think. They're cashing in the inheritance early. Actually, that's really a bad phrase. They're throwing it away. For whatever reason, they don't believe it. I mean, if you had the winning Powerball ticket, $450 million in your hand, would you throw it in the trash? No. Would you go cash that sucker? Oh, yeah. And if it took you a little while to get to where you had to go to cash it, would you still do it? Yeah. I bet you would. Well, you have something far more precious than a Powerball ticket. You have something far more important to your life. You have the promise of eternal life. Now let's weigh those balances just a bit, okay? Promise of eternal life, Powerball. You know, sad thing is that most people always choose the Powerball because they can get it right now. And that's exactly what Esau did. But he lost the birthright because of it. See, when you stop fighting, when you give up and you give in to the enemy, you give in to this carnal man, you don't want to deal with it, it's too hard, your family's against you, your girlfriend doesn't like it, whatever the problem is, I can't say Jesus at work or they'll fire me. Well, let him fire you. Let God deal with it. If you're God's, he'll sort it out. If you can't give glory to Jesus, You need to find another job anyway. When you stop fighting, you give up and you surrender that inheritance for a bowl of split pea soup. Back to James. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the what? Humble. You know, it starts right there. Lord, I am guilty. I am at fault. There is no other excuse other than me. It's me, Lord. It's not you. It's not my parents. It's not my kids. It's not my wife. It's not my husband. I don't have a husband, but you get my point. It's not where I work. It's not the car I drive. It's not the town I live in. It's not my house. Lord, it's just me. See, if you try and infuse any other justification into your life as to why it is the train wreck it is other than you, you're still walking in pride. It's all pride. I don't care how you want to justify it. The minute you say, yes, but, the justifications start to flow, and it's pride. There is no other, look, if that's where you're at, just stop. Just stop. Because you're on the wrong bus. You need to pull the cord and get off. And get on the grace bus. Because the pride bus goes straight to hell. You can get off anytime you want. Just pull the cord. Said, Lord, it's all me. I've done it. I'm at fault. It's my fault. And if you can get to that place and bear yourself to God, there's grace, not 5 years from now, not after a bunch of penance. No, I'm talking about right now. There is grace. There's deliverance. There's healing. There's forgiveness. There's everything. There's reconciliation. God is a master at taking utter disasters and making something beautiful. Just talk to my buddy Phil. Phil is the train wreck of train wrecks. Not really. He used to be. But that boy, he could screw up some stuff, I'm telling you. But God's grace was on him. And when he would turn, God would take this monstrous, horrendous, unbelievable mess and go poof, and it would be something glorious, to bring glory to God. And God's done that in my life many times. And it starts with me getting on my knees and saying, God, it's my fault. Nobody else's fault. I cannot blame anybody but me. And his grace is right there. Instantly right there. Instantly right there. God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. All right, so if you have two options to submit to, you have the world, what's it offered you really? How's that going for you? And you have God, a good God, a loving God, who spared not his only son. Why wouldn't he give you all things? If he didn't spare his only son so you could be reconciled to him, knowing that you could not do it, that there was no way within your strength, within your power, it was impossible. In the same way a camel can't go through a sewing needle, you were not going to get to heaven on your own. But he loved you and he loved me. And he died on that cross and shed his blood for you and for me. So we can have eternal life. And we can have victory in this life. See, you can walk in that victory right now. You don't have to wait. You can walk in it right now. But you can't do it if you're still on the pride bus. You got to get off that bus. Humble yourself. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. But then the work's not done. And this is where people fall down. This is where people really falter. Brother Steve talked and other people talked about Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. That's the testimony. He staggered not. Well, when you start engaging in the fight, you know what the enemy does? He does not roll over and play dead. No, he comes back, and he comes back with more, and he comes back harder. But you, if you continue to resist the devil, and it's not like a minor thing. We're talking, I don't know if you guys ever used to wrestle as, you know, kids. I used to wrestle, used to fight as a kid in the neighborhood. You know, you'd come home with a busted nose or a black eye, a bloody lip. That was all part of growing up where I grew up. But we get into these scraps. And you were fighting. You were swinging. Look, this walk of faith, the responsibility of faith, it's not a once and done kind of thing. It's not. It is a constant thing. Because the enemy is constantly coming at you. He's constantly coming at you with fiery darts. And those wiry, wily darts, they're all doubt. It's all doubt darts, as I call them. Trying to get you off track, off focus. Turn your faith and belief away from God onto something else. No, there's not God and something. I was playing a song earlier today, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. And the original lyrics, it says, I'm so glad you're in my life. And I had to just, we changed them, but I hadn't changed them in this book yet. Because it's not about having Jesus in your life, it's about Jesus being your life. So we changed them to, I'm so glad you are my life. See, when you transition from the, you know, commercial off-the-shelf Christianity that's being perpetrated out there, the Sunday, Wednesday Christianity, when you transition to that, from that to the 24-hour responsibility of faith, fighting, having victory, believing in God, kicking the enemy's teeth in, when you transition from that off-the-shelf commercial Walmart Christianity, then your life's going to change. And it's not Jesus in your life, because your life is gone. And you put on his life. And you walk in his life. And you walk in his power. And you walk in his will. And you walk in his strength. And there is nothing that can stand before you, because you are in him. And when you can tap into that confidence, what is there that the world can throw at you that has any place? Could the armies stand before Joshua? Could the armies stand before the living God? No. And if you are in Christ, you just do these simple things. Humble yourself. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Now and forever. Then there is nothing but victory on the other side. And I'm not saying that there's going to be prosperity and your bank account's going to be full. I don't preach a prosperity message. It's not what I'm talking about. But you're going to have victory in the things that matter. You have victory in the things that really matter. And it's not just for special people like King David. Amen. It's for everybody. Everybody that will believe. Any one of those guys in the trenches could have stepped out. Believing God with the same fervor and belief that David had and killed that giant. Because it wasn't about the guy. It was about the God. Amen. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. With you, sorry, bro, people. With you, no hope. With Jesus, nothing but hope. So that's it for today. We're going to wrap it up just a couple minutes here, and then we're going to kick over to the service in Texas. So if you guys would like to join us and continue listening, go to eagle-radio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And in about 3 or 4 minutes, you'll hear our Texas service. Thank you, guys. And this has been a lot of fun.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the Donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.